Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to another edition of Popcast.
Wait, isn't that Popcast?
You guys like that, huh?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Popcast! There you go. Sam Vashrilli within this week and Dan Nalen with the Salt Lake Tribune, and I, your host, Darren Ewing. We're going to talk about how things are cooking this week in the world of entertainment. So
with gas.
With gas. Yeah. And without Vince today.
Vince, are the most loquacious of the three, four of us here, is on sabbatical. Or actually, he's not. He's going down to High School Musical in St. George at the filming to hang out. Yeah, Darren was up for a part in that. I think he was the abusive softball coach. Was that the part? Were you the man in two tight shorts hanging around the girls' locker room or something?
I was, and tell me if you don't think I'm perfect for this part, okay? Perfect. I'm supposed to, I read for the part of the stand-up comedian that is bombing and has flop sweat on stage. Huh?
Perfect!
Perfect!
At, like, summer camp? Is that where the scene was going to take place?
I don't know.
Like a stand-up, summer camp stand-up?
I don't know.
It's a pretty low threshold to be funny if you're a stand-up at a summer camp, I think. It'd be hard to flop.
The audition was literally to go in and tell bad jokes. Well, who knows more bad jokes than me?
Well, they just lost this customer if they didn't give you a part.
Darn right. Thanks, Dan.
Screw High School Musical.
Yeah, nice to know you got my back. I appreciate
that. I'm sure it will take a dent out of their bottom, their net gross.
Oh, yeah, nobody's going to watch this.
No way. Never.
Well, what, Dan, take it away. What have you got this week?
I'll take it away. Well, myself this week, in our little pop-top section of the Salt Lake Tribune, which is your Purple Tuesday section on the back, for those of you with an actual hard copy of the paper, I did a couple CDs and a live show. The live show, which is the much hyped by me, Joan Jett show at the up at the canyons on Saturday.
Did you just propose to her and get it over with this time?
I got to meet her again.
Did you?
And for no reason, I kept telling the guy, "Hey, I don't need to meet her. I met her last summer. It's cool. I don't like going backstage and meeting uncomfortable musicians who are about to take stage." You know?
Oh yeah.
They don't care.
Right.
They don't want to know. They do it everywhere because it's part of their job, like the meet and greet type thing.
Right.
And I'm like, I really don't need to. Oh, come on. They really liked your thing, you know, whatever, the thing in the paper.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they were sitting there talking about what they were gonna wear on stage. They weren't interested in talking to anybody.
Well,
hey, hi, hello, see ya, thanks for coming.
Yeah, but I can understand. Yeah.
But the show was great. The show itself, there's probably 3,000 or 4,000 people, I bet, that showed up there. And it was a beautiful day. You're outside. They came out and rocked it for probably 80, 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of her new stuff, all the classics, great covers.
You had great weather that day, too, didn't you?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So she had a good time, it seemed like. And, you know, it's Park City, so you have this weird ski touristy crowd. And then you had a bunch of local punk kids who were fans of Joan Jett there. And it was fun. Fun little scene.
All right.
I did that. I tried to go to the Apples and Stereos Saturday night, but I mistimed the show and only caught the encore. So I won't be reviewing them in the pop top today, but they sounded great for those 15 minutes. For the one beer I enjoyed, they sounded lovely. And the opening band got on stage with them, Casper and the Cookies. They were good, too. But I was bummed. I mean, it's a Saturday night, and the show was over by 11. I was like,
wow.
They're not even going to go on stage till 10:30. And
will they have to get the band or something?
I mean, they are a band that has like a bunch of 2-minute songs. So I know when they play a show, it's only going to be like an hour, hour and 15.
Is it?
Because that's like 30 songs.
Is it because they had to be to the early session of conference the next morning?
I think that was it.
Music in the spoken word.
That was it. The follow-up date.
That show's really gotten hip, hasn't it?
They have those pop sensibilities that you can work with a choir, I think. No problem. So I missed them. And too bad. I'll see them again. But, you know, they sounded good in the depot, actually. There wasn't much of a crowd at that one, so no biggie. I also did a couple of CDs. One is the new Kings of Leon, which, Sam, I don't know. Are you familiar with these guys very much?
Yeah.
Heard them. They've had two albums
Love
out.
Love it.
They got,
Love it!
They're huge in Europe already, for whatever reason. These guys are from Tennessee. They haven't broken through in the States, really, at all. They had a song on, like, a Volkswagen commercial. They've toured opening for U2, Pearl Jam, and Dylan all in the last year and a half. But they just, for whatever reason, they haven't broken through here. This record is pretty good. To me, I still think their first record is the best one.
Oh, really?
And that's going to annoy bands forever that people like their first album better than anything that comes after. But since that one, they've gotten, you know, kind of more glammed out and more interested in their own fame, because they do have fame in Europe, so they do lead the supermodel dating life and such. So they have a lot of songs about that now, and it's just not as cool to me as
right.
just their random stuff they were singing about, like transvestite hookers and stuff on the first album.
Uh-huh.
But that being said, there's a lot of really cool stuff on here. They really are kind of expanding the sound beyond this sort of southern boogie garage thing they had going.
Yeah.
They have a little more experimentation on this one. They have their first song that reaches 5 minutes long. Unfortunately, it's the first song on the album, and I got bored halfway through it, so bad strategy on that one, I think. I would move it down in the album, and it would have been fine. But there's some pretty cool stuff, and the guy definitely still has a unique voice, Caleb Followell.
He really does, doesn't he?
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't sound like anyone else. So I gave it a B. I mean, it might be a B plus. I mean, I enjoy it.
This was a recommendation that you made. It was the first time I'd ever heard of him is when we talked about it on Remix.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm listening to it, and I don't have anything to compare it to, but I really like it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rootsy, and it's fresh and original sounding
to
me.
It's guitar rock.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like anyone else really out there.
Yeah. It sounds like a good bar band with more than its fair share of hooks.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And I really enjoy that album.
Yeah, their second album was like a whole bunch of 2-minute hooks, basically. I mean, some of them were too incomplete, but it was still pretty good. The Aha Shake Heartbreak album.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. But, pretty good. The other album I did.
By the way, I've learned, and this is true, if Dan recommends it, it's usually pretty good.
Why, thank you.
I don't know. It just seems to be a good rule of thumb. I'm like, Dan liked this, and usually I listen to it, and I'm like, hey, you know what? That guy was right.
I definitely like it, all things poppy and alty, alt country or whatever.
Yeah.
So they fall somewhere in there. The other CD I did is Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, who are a top-notch bluegrass band who make gospel music all the time, but they made a secular album this time called More Behind the Wall Than the Picture, or More Behind the Picture Than the Wall. That's what it is. Keep confusing that. But these guys have won the Vocal Group of the Year award from the International Bluegrass Music Association, like 6 years running.
There's
great,
a powerful organization.
Harmonies. Hey, that's big time, baby. they have these great vocal harmonies. The lead singer has the classic high lonesome kind of bluegrass sound. Doyle Lawson himself sings lead a couple times. He's the old guy in the group who's played with Bill Monroe back in the day and stuff. He's a mandolin player, been around for 40 years in the business. This band's been around 30 years. Great, great album. Just traditional bluegrassy, some really good. They do some originals. They do some classic country stuff. It's aces, so B plus on that one.
Okay.
So, yeah. Vince, who is not here, we believe is reviewing Volver. Have you seen this, Sam?
I haven't.
Me either. So, there. That's the end of that one.
I don't know. I haven't either, but it sounds French, and so I don't really care if I see it.
It's Pedro.
Almodovar.
Oh, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Penelope Cruz was nominated for an Oscar for this thing.
That's right.
So it's got to be pretty good, because she's pretty inert in a lot of movies I've seen her in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, she's eye candy and not, you know, much more in some movies, like Sahara, which I watched recently.
Was that good?
It was all right. Action movie.
Hour and a half.
I watched it.
Yeah.
That's a recommendation.
It's got Matthew McConaughey, which is usually not a good sign.
But it also had Steve Zahn as his sidekick. So he was pretty good. And it had William H. Macy in a kind of a weird role for him.
Oh, he's in it, huh?
He was like their money man, the guy whose boat they borrowed to go up the river or whatever. See, so now we're talking about Sahara for no reason. I watched it.
That's
anyway.
Okay.
So Penelope Cruz. Yeah. What else came out today? Oh, The Good Shepherd, the De Niro-directed History of the CIA movie, which I don't believe we reviewed that one either, because it's like 3 hours long and we don't
have
time. Kind
of got mixed reviews, by and large.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see the Breach CIA spy movie more than I want to see this.
That one's good.
The Good Shepherd.
Yeah. But that's, well, Chris Cooper's one of my favorite actors.
Matt Damon.
You bet. Yeah.
So, Sam, what do you have going in this week?
Well, the big release, which we won't have a review of since the screening's too late, but Grindhouse!
We're all geeked out about it.
Yeah, we're totally.
To a man in
here. We can't wait. Yeah.
And I felt the same way about 300. I was very, very excited, but somewhat let down after I saw it. Sure. But
I've lost my. Like, I was really excited to see that movie when it came out, and now that it's been 3 weeks or whatever, I've kind of lost my desire to see it for whatever reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why. There's no real reason, but. But Grindhouse, no way.
No,
Grindhouse.
Sure,
yeah.
It's gonna rock.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
It's Kurt Russell for one. Let's just start with that. Kurt Russell doesn't make a bum move when it comes to action movies, people.
It is one of those films that a vast majority of us have already made up our mind that we're going to like it, which is probably not a good thing.
I have the hots for Rose McGowan. I'll start with that too.
Sure.
So I'm already.
With
the machine gun leg, all the better. Kurt Russell. I watch Big Trouble in Little China at least a couple times a year.
Me too.
I mean, at least.
And I love that movie.
Love it. Yep. I like it better than Escape from New York. York.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
Me too.
So this is going to be awesome. I am psyched.
Yeah. let's hope this one is as quotable as Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I hope Kurt gets the chance to shine that he deserves in every movie.
Right.
Because, you know, in that Sky High, he was in it, but he wasn't in it that much. He was the dad.
Oh, yeah.
He's great in everything.
Just because Kurt Russell was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was on cable. I mean, you know.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was a free cable weekend.
I took my kids to see it, and but it's great to see Kurt Russell still in a Disney movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was exciting,
yeah.
You know.
I grew up watching
He's
him
Dexter
at Disney.
Riley, for crying out loud. He's Whitey Jackson, the Wayward Kid. And Follow Me Boys.
What was he when he was the Tarzan boy who plays football or whatever?
Oh, like, yeah.
I can't remember the character's name. But
I'm confusing it. He's not the world's greatest athlete because that was Jan Michael Vincent.
Oh, that's right.
And Tim Conway.
I can't remember what this
I'm really scene. Dating myself on this one. But I know
These
what you're talking
70s.
About. Yep.
But yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Good times.
What else, Sam?
Anyway, sorry, Sam. We went off on our whole little thing.
No, that's good.
10 years
good.
Before your time. Have you seen Big Trouble in Little China?
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Although, since I saw it when I was a kid, it still scares me. I know it's supposed to be funny, but it wasn't to me as a kid.
Oh,
that's
a cool
kind of intense,
yeah.
Huh?
The guy who blows up. I was always terrified by
that. Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was some real action, man. Kung Fu fighting. It was good.
No, I enjoyed that. However, it's also been fun. Since we're not going to have a review, I thought maybe I'd just write a little essay on exploitation films.
Excellent.
So I read over the weekend this quick book about exploitation from like 1919 to 1959. And, you know, I think I'm going to... I haven't written it yet, but I think the intro paragraph is going to talk about how people always say that our culture is getting coarser and et cetera, which... There's probably just more of it. You
there's
know?
Just well
it's easier access.
And
for
there's
all of us
easier access.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah. And as far as film goes, the majors are finally doing R-rated, edgy content. Whereas back in the day, this stuff always existed. Like even Thomas Edison. I've been in Torino, Italy, a movie museum, and they have like the old. You have to flip them yourself.
Oh, yeah.
To make the motion picture moves. One of them that Thomas Edison did was a nudie one. Thomas Edison had his girlfriend or whoever.
Pornography has been at the forefront of technology for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, I there was
not a,
there,
been a naked person.
There was a Moviola for sale at this great little place on La Brea in Los Angeles, and it was one of these peep show projector deals, and it still worked.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and it's obviously very, very old. I'm thinking from the 50s or 60s. So I'm thinking, you know, what's this going to be like? Honey Bee, like a stag reel with the girl with the tassels.
Yeah.
And so I put in my quarter and. It was just the filthiest thing I have ever seen.
Real old,
yes.
Old
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
I can't take it home.
I didn't know they did that back then.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, but you see what you say. I mean, and especially before the Hays office, I mean, anything went, especially in the 20s and 30s. I mean,
yeah.
It was art.
Lucille Ball was a nude model before she... became Lucille Ball.
You have to put that in my head.
Oh, right. Hey, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
The lady was quite the dish back in her 20s.
That's true enough. I have a crush on Mary Tyler Moore from the Dick Van Dyke.
How could you not? Those capri pants? Come on.
But that's funny.
Other stuff opening, there's a couple disposable family films. Are We Done Yet? With Ice.
Ice Cube, yo!
Oh,
yes.
It looks hilarious.
Did you see the first one? Are We There Yet?
No, I didn't.
You did?
Oh, it's painful. Yes.
I had to review Cedric the Entertainer's version of Are We There Yet when it was just a different young black actor and comedian in a family road trip movie.
I don't understand why you have to explain every joke to me. And show
it
coming
movies,
from
though,
a mile away. But even kids' movies, you know, I don't think you have to do that. But there seems to be this compulsion that they do. Everything has to be sort of rolling your eyes. And,
well, think about Ice Cube's
you know,
background.
If you get kicked in the crotch, it has to sound like a car door slamming. And you go, and it's like not funny.
Well, Ice Cube comes from hip-hop where things are exaggerated to make them more effective, you know. Maybe it translates into his films.
Well, I haven't seen this. I have a funny feeling I'm probably going to have to see this because I have kids, but I'm not excited about it.
No, I can imagine that.
At least you're keeping Ice Cube from the gang life.
That's right. Yeah, keeping him off the streets. That's what I'm all about.
That's right.
Do Three Kings 2. That was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
But on the adult side of things and in the art house at the Broadway this week, Iraq in Fragments opened.
Oh.
It played at Sundance. It's a very good documentary. It wasn't what I expected. I expected it to be some sort of frontline-esque story, but it falls around a Sunni, a Shiite, and a Kurd.
Oh,
just
really?
They all walk into a bar. One has a duck under his arm.
I did sound like the aesthetic. But, it's unlike most documentaries these days. There's no talking heads. The first guy, he's an 11-year-old kid working at a bar. So you see it through his eyes, and it's a remarkable documentary. The way it's shot, the way it tells its stories, the way it doesn't have it just lets these people tell its stories.
Excellent.
And like for that. Once, whether this is purposeful or not, you really see, or I did, the U.S. Army as an occupier. Because there's no American, the only time you see Americans is when they're standing with a big gun on a tank or truck or something.
Yeah.
So you really see
like at a checkpoint or something like that.
Exactly. So you can see how strange it must be to have a foreign occupier in your city. I mean, yeah. You go out and there's an American standing. You have to listen to what he says, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can't wrap my head around that kind of life.
Oh, yeah.
Or that you're 11 and you're working in a bar. You're just sort of...
mm-hmm. And this is playing where?
It's opening at Broadway.
Broadway, of course.
It was played at Sundance. It won a couple awards there.
Yeah. I'm curious to see that for sure.
Nice. That's cool.
Now, did you see the Blades of Glory movie?
Mm-hmm.
You did? Okay. How,
and
I
how was that?
I didn't see your review.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And we didn't tie it to screen not in time.
Right.
Will Ferrell is funny. He's one of those actors, though. He can do basically anything, and I laugh. He's like Vince Vaughn, just improvised off the cuff.
I'm kind of the same way, where he just makes me giggle just by showing up.
Yes. Yeah. So for that, it's solid. Amy Poehler's also funny in it, and I don't even like her.
Mm-hmm.
Will Arnett, for me, was a bit disappointing, because they didn't really give him much to do. He's in a few scenes.
I believe
scenes.
That. They kind of slap him in there, probably, to...
Yeah.
He's funny.
He doesn't fit.
You know, but...
They're still... he shows up every now and again. He was in that horrible Jane Fonda monster-in-law thing. Yeah. I mean, he and Wanda Sykes, the two funny people, basically relegated to the background while J-Lo and Jane Fonda are, just
it's
uniformly
like
not funny.
But they're not really that famous of people. But
I think they're still with Will Ferrell trying to figure out what the deal is, what he's, going to be good at.
Yeah.
Does it seem that way?
Yeah, but it's meandering, and I'm agree, it's probably a little, just meandering, I think.
So
that's
does this
where
seem, to me, I'm a long-time Will Ferrell fan, but I've also been almost disappointed consistently with his movies, just because I always expect so much, and then it's always like, nah, that's not quite as funny as I thought it was going to be.
With me, it's just the opposite, where the expectations are very low, and then Talladega Nights was actually funnier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, well, that's true.
My expectations
were low for that one.
Yeah.
But what kills me is that one and Anchorman, the funniest bits of the movies I thought were the other characters besides Will Ferrell,
mm-hmm.
whether it was Sacha Cohen and Andy Richter in Talladega Nights, and what's his name, the guy from Chicago, John... You know who I'm talking about.
John C. Reilly?
Yeah, John C. Reilly. He was great.
He's great.
And Anchorman, it was the other news guys that I thought were the funniest, whether, Steve Carell and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I know I don't really like John Heder.
Oh, he's terrible.
And so I'm a little afraid to even see this one because of the sidekicks, especially after hearing now that Will Arnett's kind of not given much to do. And I do like Amy Poehler, but...
She's funny.
She's... Yeah.
And Jenna Fisher is hot. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Blushingly so.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
But to me, it seems like a one-joke premise.
Well,
is
it
isn't that?
For Will Ferrell
no.
to keep doing these, it seems like he does something like Stranger Than Fiction or the Woody Allen movie he did a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Will Ferrell's growing beyond this sort of shticky... skit stretched into a full-length movie thing, but then he goes back and does it. Because they make huge money, obviously, every time.
Yeah.
This one I actually thought was going to make more money than $33 million, though. I thought it would be like a $50 million opening.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the hype. The commercials. I've seen so many commercials in the last month.
No, and this is definitely an hour
Meet
and
the Robinsons
skit.
Almost kept up with it,
This one is an extended skit.
Yeah. And I was going to say something. You had mentioned...
Will Arnett?
That's what you said. Oh, forget it. Put my mind.
Will Ferrell? John Heder?
Well, John Heder's no good. I did want to say that. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So you said the one joke thing that is basically isn't ice skating silly?
yeah.
Which the first part of that is, and people are laughing just because he's in a silly costume, but that's not a joke.
Falling down.
What the?
Vince is late.
Hey.
We're just wrapping up right now.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's told us you weren't coming today.
Well, I sent you a message. You
this podcast is about to double in length, ladies and gentlemen. Vince Moriucci has entered the room.
Hello.
We just reached the 20-minute mark. We're in dangerous territory now.
No,
tell us what your review, though. Did you do Volver?
I did. The problem is Dan doesn't listen to his voicemail to tell him that, yes, I'll be available.
I've been writing, man. I got no time for listening.
That's right.
He didn't know how to check his voicemail.
That's right.
You didn't come to that seminar? It was about 6 hours long.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah, I reviewed Volver, which is okay. It's a movie with Penelope Cruz. It's by Pedro Almodovar.
Right.
Right, the great Spanish director. And it's about, it's kind of an unusual movie. It's about Penelope Cruz, who
is caliente.
Yes.
Oui.
Kind of a...
Actually, she doesn't do it for me, but...
Hot number,
what?
But...
yeah, there's, you're off the show.
No, I'm sorry.
There's definitely Spanish hotness there. But, you know, she plays a mother who is... whose own mother... there are rumors in this town of... it takes place in La Mancha, Spain, and there are these rumors in the village, as they call it, that... oh, what the hell, I don't know. it's a pretty good movie. I don't want to make
worth
this podcast.
The subtitles?
Yes. Yes, okay. You know, it's not, the best thing about it is, you know, it's
what?
An all-female cast.
I got to read?
You got to read. Oh, my God. You know,
man.
Would you rather see it dubbed?
No.
Yes.
I read a movie
with
last night.
With cartoon voices.
Which yeah. One? Amelie. I watched Amelie.
Shame on you.
I'd rather have it read by children.
Mel Blanc is dead. I'm sorry. He can't do that for you. But, you know, it's the best thing about it, and I gave it a B, is it's got a great cast that is really remarkable. It's an all-female cast. And
would you say they're bueno?
Good. Would you just knock that? All right. Finally, the big thing, too, is finally God of War 2. Sam and I have talked right. about this for a couple of podcasts. He's upset that I didn't give him a copy
you were
of the game.
You about to go right through this whole thing without mentioning it, Sam. What happened?
Well,
we almost
played it.
We so almost pulled know. It off, Dan. We almost.
Oh, sorry, sorry. You guys can poo-poo video games all you want, but this thing is a remarkable A title. It is about this
what that
buff.
Mean? A means title.
A.
So that's big.
As in,
poo-poo.
I gave it an A, and it is an A title.
Okay.
And just, you know, you play this buff, beefy Spartan warrior, who basically kills anything ugly or different. There you go.
Wow.
No, that's not true. He's saving the day. He's fighting Colossus.
And he's killing anything ugly or different.
Wow.
And it's a great
what
game.
What is it used to kill people? Like knives, swords?
Knives, swords.
It's brutal.
It's incredibly bloody.
Is it excelente?
It's...
how do you say excelente?
How do you say Greek? Yes.
I don't know. You have to read the subtitles.
Is there a sex minigame like the first game?
Supposedly there is. There is a so-called sex minigame.
It's a very adult title.
Very adult title.
I guess so.
Apparently you do the nasty with someone. That's all I know. I haven't gotten to that part. I'd rather it's in the beginning, but I haven't figured out how to unlock the Easter egg to it. So
right. Well, you're off
trust
to a
me,
bad
I'm desperate.
Start. Anytime you combine sex with Minnie, you're off to a bad start. Just right there. So
this guy ain't no Minnie, apparently.
Okay.
All right. And that's it for me.
Is that because he's the God of War?
Can I make my joke right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the closest most gamers will get to sex. Find the Easter egg, geeks.
And on that horrible note,
this has been, everybody together,
Podcast!